One day Jesus was teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum, and he was speaking words that were something like this. He said, "You've heard it said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. But I'm here to tell you something completely different. I'm here to tell you, eat, drink, be merry, because you will live forever." Now, those were very revolutionary words to the listeners there in Capernaum. And then he went on to make them even more memorable, because he said, now it's not just about eating and drinking the way you normally would, but I want you to eat and drink my flesh and my blood. Now, I don't know if they knew anything about cannibalism back in those days or about vampires, but they choked on Jesus' words just as much as if they had known about that. And so we ask ourselves today, because sometimes we stumble over those very words, what in the world was Jesus talking about? Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It's almost as though it were repulsive to us. But I want to suggest to you that it was not so much those words that bothered those people there in Capernaum. Because after all, these were Jews. And they were used to rabbis going around amongst themselves and talking about terms that were full of simile and metaphor and that type of thing. No, it wasn't that part that disturbed them so much, the eating and the drinking of his blood. Would you turn with me to John, the 6th chapter, and the passage that we have and that Sean shared with us today? And would you look at verse 42? Because there is the heart of the problem. If you didn't bring your Bibles with you, you'll find one in the pew right in front in the rack there. John 6 and verse 42. And they said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" You see, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven." And that was a very difficult thing for them to accept. For them to accept, as it is for us, Jesus' promise of salvation. But what he was asking them to accept here was not just he as the Messiah that would come to save them, but he was asking them to accept him as the divine Son of God and accept his kingship and his rulership over them. They were having a very difficult time just accepting the first part, let alone now accepting that he was the divine God of heaven. I was thinking about this as I prepared my sermon for today, and thinking about communion. Communion is such a beautiful service because it gives us an opportunity to actually be part of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. We're eating and drinking. We're active, aren't we? We're participating in it. And in the symbolism of that unleavened bread and that unfermented grape juice, what we're really looking at here as symbols of Jesus' ultimate sacrifice is to accept him not just as our sacrifice, but also to accept him as our Lord our Savior, but also our King. And I believe that that's just about as hard as it was. It's as hard for 21st century Seventh-day Adventists as it was for first century Christians, Jews. It was a difficult thing. We're more than happy to accept the free pardon that Jesus has to offer us. It's a little harder for us to accept his rulership, his lordship in our lives. Jesus understood that. He said over there in Luke 6:42, he said, "Why is it that you call me Lord, Lord, and then you have a hard time doing what I have to say?" Let me try to describe it in this way. I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, when my wife and I go on vacation, one of our favorite places to visit is Subway. And we do so because we can get a healthy and a hearty and an economical meal all in one. And so I was at one of the Subways not that long ago. In fact, it was just this last weekend. And I went through line there, and I was enjoying picking out, you know, the various parts to the sandwich. And when I got to the end of the line, the lady in the register, behind the register there, she said, "Would you like a combo meal?" "Well, what's a combo meal?" "Well, a combo meal means that you get a soda, and you get a 6-inch, and you get some chips." And I said, "Well, but I don't drink sodas anymore. I'll just have water." "Okay, that's fine. But what if," and I didn't do this, "but what if I had said to her, 'Now here's what I would like to propose. Let's just exchange the soda for orange juice.'" What do you think she would say? "Can't do that. It's not part of the combo meal." "Oh, really? Well, this is certainly as good as soda, isn't it? Well, I have another suggestion. Could I substitute yogurt?" Did you know that they sell yogurt at Subway now? They do. And apples and a whole bunch of other things. "Could I substitute that?" And she would have been looking at me probably fairly strangely by this time, and she would say, "No, you can't do that," with a little bit of a edge to her voice, you know, because, you know, people were stacking up behind me. "Well, why not?" "Because it's not part of the package." When Jesus came, he offered us a package deal. He offered us salvation and kingship. He offered to be our Savior, but at the same time, he said, "I'm here to be your King, your Lord." Now, when the disciples, when the followers of Jesus there in Capernaum, when they heard those words, I can imagine that they said, "But Lord, we are more than happy to accept you as our Savior. We love the things that you do, the way you heal people, the way you provide free meals." You know, Subway had nothing on them back in those days with Jesus, right? "The way that you're just awesome. You're going to deliver us from the Romans. You're going to be our ruler. We're so excited about that. But if you are asking us to accept you as our King, and that means that you're asking us to do what you tell us to do, and to forgive our enemies and to love them, and do we have to keep the Sabbath the way you want us to keep the Sabbath? Well, we're not ready to accept that. We're not willing to go along with that." And so in verse 66 of that same chapter, the Bible tells us that most of the disciples left Jesus at that time because they didn't want to accept his kingship and his salvation. Today, as we celebrate the beautiful symbols of Jesus' lordship as well as his salvation, I just invite you, I urge you, to accept him in your life as your master as well as your savior. Eat, he says, drink, live eternally. We're going to share together now over in our Better Living Center. Please feel free to join. There's three places over there. It can be a family, it can be men, it can be women. You'll see the sign set up over there. As soon as we finish, we'll come back over here for the Lord's Supper, sitting every other seat. I know that as we prepare for this very special service, that God is going to be here in a powerful way, and his Spirit will be in our midst. May God bless you. Those of you who choose not to go over there, just be seated right here. Music will be playing. Dave, you can arrange that. And you can meditate quietly here until we come back. God bless. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're going to kneel up here on the platform, as well as the deacons and deaconesses, for the prayer for the bread and for the prayer for the grape juice. So I'd like to just invite you folks up here in front to kneel at this time, and the rest of you can remain seated.
Loving God, and Father in heaven, as we come here this morning for this sacred time to reflect upon what the Lord has done for us, we come to you in faith, knowing that your promises are sure. Amen. And as we take of the emblem of the bread of life, we would ask that you help us to ponder over the pain and suffering that he went through, to give us this emblem, and that we might truly see the meaning and that your love you have for us. Bless the bread and bless the giver, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we partake and drink of this grape juice, this wine, help us remember the blood that you shed on the cross for us, Lord. So many years ago, Lord, but we know it's a promise that you'll be by our side, that you're coming soon to take us to your home, Lord. And as we remember that today, Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice to give us eternal salvation. In your name, Lord, we pray in this, in your name, amen.
For those of you who are needing gluten-free communion bread, we have that available. Mike, you're going to pass that out? Just raise your hand if you would like to have that, and we'll see that that is provided for you. All right, what I'd like to do today, you gentlemen can be seated here. As our ushers, deacons, and deaconesses are distributing the emblems, I would like for us to think, go ahead, folks, of God's blessings in your life and some special answer to prayer, some special thing that God has done for you that you believe would be an inspiration to your church family. If you would just take a moment and just stand up right where you are, we're going to make this very informal, and just tell us how God has blessed your life in the last few weeks, last month or two since we last had communion. Who would like to be the first person just kind of break the ice here? And Tim, please. Amen. Yes, yes. In this environment, that's a great thing, isn't it? Amen. Thank you. Who else would like to share what God has been doing in your life? Over here, please. Oh, nice looking beard. That 1 month vacation gave you plenty of time to grow it, didn't it?
Plenty of time. God has been really good to our family and kept us safe over 8,000 miles. We've had a lot of very interesting experiences. It was not as restful as I had hoped it would be. but a friend of mine at Redwood Camp.
That's true.
I've got enough stories to write. But we're just very thankful.
Amen. Really good. Amen. All right. Thank you. And God preserving your life and giving you safety during those 8,000 miles?
Yep.
Wow. Who else would like to share something that God has done in your life? Jim. But the county jail didn't count, you told us.
Well, it was a spiritual baptism.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, it was. It was a real inspiration to all of us. Who else? Anyone? Beth. Praise God. She did. I didn't see her. Well, there were only 70,000 people there, so I mean, not surprising. Amen. Most of you don't know Daphne, but she and Bob, her husband, we were co-pastors. I was in West Covina and they were in Covina. And that's how we first met. Also, Daphne is the great-granddaughter, is that right, of Ellen White. So she and Bob were the curators or the what did they call them? The of the White Estate. or of Elmshaven for a number of years, right? So that's a blessing. I'm glad that she's recovered. Anyone else like to share what God has done for you? Yes. Thank you, Shar. Shar and Rick and Ivy and I had a chance to share a weekend together out at Monterey, and we got into these kayaks, and we went out onto the bay. Cheryl, where are you? Cheryl was the one who told us about that, and their family's done that. So we saw the otters, and we saw the pelicans, and it was great, yeah. Fun fellowshipping with one another, isn't it? As members of God's family. Anyone else? Yes, Sister Irma.
Pastor, I have so much to be thankful for. I don't really know where to start. You know, I've been through so much.
Yes, you have.
But this past 3 weeks, and I hope you guys missed me, I had a chance to go down to Los Angeles and visit in Santa Barbara with my granddaughter, and I miss you guys. And I'm just blessed to be here. I won't tell you what I've been through, but you know. And I'm just praise the Lord that I'm here. And every day I see the sun rise in the morning. I thank him for this day.
Amen.
And when I go to bed at night, I thank him for taking care of me through this day. I don't ask for tomorrow. Yeah. I live one day at a time.
Yeah.
And I'm just blessed to be here. And one day I hope that we all will be together in the earth made new.
Amen.
Thank you for the many prayers that you prayed for me through all this I've gone through it. God bless you.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
You're looking really good, Irma, after surgeries and various things.
Hi, Pastor.
Let's say one more. Yes, please.
Hi. How many of you have ever begged on the street just one time for food because you're hungry? Just one time. Okay. Please pray for me. Next month, from September 15th to the 30th, I'm going to go back to the Philippines. I'm going to go feed the hungry, go the homeless, and pray for me where the Lord was going to lead me, my safety and everything. But I'm going to go with the church and like that. So I'm going to reach them wherever it is until God's resources is gone. But if I go hungry tomorrow and beg, I'll still praise the Lord, Pastor.
Amen. Okay. Thank you. Let's be sure to pray for Melody as she goes on this mission trip. And many of our young people are back from their mission trip. I'm looking forward to hearing about the, what was it called? Ultimate workout or something like that. Yeah. So be nice when they get back and we can hear from them. I'd like to invite our deacons and deaconesses to come forward at this time. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body shed for you. Then in the same manner, they took the cup, passed it around. He said, drink ye all of it. As we go about our business of the week, recovering from vacation, Dawn, and just back to normal. I hope that you will take these symbols, the bread of life, the blood of the sacrifice, and you will just let it settle into your thoughts. You'll just let it permeate your actions. Because you're identifying those with Jesus as your Savior and mine, and Jesus as your Lord and Master. And when He asks us to do things, it's not hard for us to do them, because it's done out of love. It's because we want to. We want to be a blessing to others. We want to follow His example and share with others what Jesus has done for us. May God bless you as you go out from this service as the salt and as the light in your community, in your family. We have a song that we're going to sing together entitled, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Do we have it up top? We don't. Is that in our 574 in our hymnals? Oh, yes, we do have it up there. I'd like to invite you to stand, please. Oh, Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. In hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way,